Kevin Papp, President, Minnesota Farm Bureau.
Kevin, a lot to talk about here as we move into July. Let's begin with the upcoming conference committee on the 2018 Farm Bill following the Senate passage of its Farm Bill. What are you going to be watching the closest in the committee process?
We're going to be watching, making sure the conferees from both the House and the Senate will complete this Farm Bill on time. You know, we saw strong bipartisan support both in the Senate Ag Committee and on the Senate floor. And as we work together and really merge two bills into one, we'll be helping out and making sure they understand the importance to get it done on time.
Yeah, we've talked for many months about some of the priorities when you look at crop insurance, conservation. There's a lot to unpack in the Farm Bill. But as you look at what remains, what's been included with amendments and different things, are there some things about this Farm Bill that you're worried could be not necessarily on the chopping block, but there's some uncertainty around them that maybe you didn't expect a few months back?
Well, the safety net portions are so important. You know, we've got serious economic challenges ahead of us. The low commodity prices are causing, you know, decade lows in farm income. The risk management tools are needed now more than ever. I mean, just look at what's happening with the weather here the last few days, and having that ability to manage that risk for the weather that we can't control. So continue to work on that. We understand there's some contentious issues with the SNAP program, the farm subsidy caps, conservation initiatives, but hopefully we'll work together and get this done and have it available to sign before this Farm Bill expires.
Right, and the expiration date is September 30th. Do you feel like, based on the progress that's been made, that it's a pretty realistic possibility that the next Farm Bill will be completed and signed by the President by September 30th?
Well, if we go on the past history, especially on the Senate side, you know, we had Ag Committee over 1,000 pages, 2.5 hours. They came out with a 20-1 vote on the Senate floor, 86 senators supporting it. That certainly gives broad bipartisan support, and hopefully that'll carry over into the conference committee.
Anything else on the Farm Bill, Kevin?
Well, not so much on the Farm Bill, but it's not just the Farm Bill. You know, we're working on that, trying to find a solution for the very serious farm labor shortage. We're concerned about increasing market opportunities through trade, protecting the renewable fuel standard, cutting the burdens of regulations. There's just a lot going on the national level.
Absolutely there is. And with trade, you are a corn and soybean farmer yourself. And when you look at the trade retaliation from China and how it's impacted soybean prices, whether you wear your Farm Bureau President hat or your Minnesota farmer hat here, what's that been like for you personally?
Well, it's had a big impact. We've seen our markets tumble since the discussion of this. You know, we understand President Trump continues to make good on his promise to be tough on trade, but we're very hopeful that these trade tensions will lead to better trade deals, but it affects each and every one of us individually. As we've seen, you know, the price of soybeans down close to $2 from where it was not very many months ago.
What do you make of USDA Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue talking about some assistance, some financial assistance to help offset some of these market losses because of the trade conflict? Is that a realistic option? Is that something that could supplement in a way that is effective? I mean, I know it's hard to really put a dollar figure on how these trade disruptions are impacting the markets, but federal help, Kevin, what do you think of it?
Well, I think all farmers would rather get their farm income from the market and not from the government, and we'd rather be market orientated. And when we've got 95% of the world as our customers outside of the United States, international trade is so important. So we really want to get it from the market, open those new markets. Yes, we need to enforce existing trade agreements we have, but we need to look at new ones. And we've got all the confidence in Secretary Perdue as being an advocate for agriculture, making sure that we're at the table. But quite frankly, I think all farmers would rather produce for the market and not for the government.
Has there been anything historically that could lend itself to give us an idea of what government help might look like, going back to other times in which the market suffered and we saw the government step in, that we could maybe glean some historical data from to get a sense of what it might be like this time around?
I think there's maybe some examples, but, you know, it's hard because in this market, the tariffs, they affect different farmers and ranchers differently. It's going to be hard to do it equitably, and quite frankly, we know how much we've lost in the market per bushel, things like that, and let's get it from the market. Let's not try and have to go through that government assistance. We need to work through international trade and have those opportunities to trade both ways. That's really what we're going to continue to push for.
I would assume, as you followed the NAFTA renegotiation, that you felt like most of us have. It seems like there's progress, and then you hear at least one of the three countries' leadership saying that there are problems. It's kind of been this back and forth. What are your feelings right now, as of today, on the renegotiation of NAFTA?
You know, as farmers, you learn at a very early age from your father, or quite frankly, maybe even from your grandfather, that in agriculture, working together works, and the importance of working with your neighbors. And in farming, you know, it's usually those closest neighbors that you have the best relationship with and are the most important. And it's the same way in trade. As we look at Canada and Mexico, our NAFTA partners, we need to work together as a North American production system to help provide the rest of the world the products that we can. And we really need to continue to move forward on NAFTA, have that come to a completion so we can move on to the next concern. So want to encourage the administration to speed up the process the best they can and come to a good NAFTA agreement.
EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt's been under a lot of fire from ag groups, renewable fuels groups, based on his handling of these hardship waivers to oil refiners. We saw that the renewable volume obligation proposal actually boosts the numbers of biodiesel, non-traditional ethanol, but at the same time, it did not do anything to help offset some of those losses from the waivers. Was that disappointing to you, Kevin? Are you hoping that the EPA can still come up with something to make up for that lost market share?
Well, Farm Bureau priority is protecting the renewable fuel standard. And these small refinery hardship waivers, you know, that's 1.2 to 1.5 billion gallons of demand taken out of the market. So we're going to continue to work to make sure we have that ability. And that's a way not only to add value for agriculture, but to add value in our rural communities. It's all about jobs.
How do you think Scott Pruitt has handled his duties at the EPA to this point?
Well, as we look at burdensome regulations, the waters of the United States, things like that, certainly appreciate those things that they're doing, have some real concerns about the renewable fuel standards. That's a big part of Minnesota agriculture. You know, we've got 20 ethanol plants in the state of Minnesota, and that's good for the farmers, good for the communities, good for the economy, good for the environment. We need to continue to push in that direction and increase that adding value, not decrease it.
And on the subject of renewable energy, you just returned home from a trip to Germany. Tell us about it.
Well, I had the opportunity to participate in a renewable energy exchange. This is the first year that agriculture had been involved. So both Farm Bureau and Farmers Union were involved in this direct partnership with Germany's Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs and Energy. And it was just a good exchange to talk about how can we best achieve a renewable energy future. And this is an advanced approach to how do we take that clean energy? How do we, again, use the resources we have? And agriculture is a big player in that, whether it's wind, whether it's soil, solar, or whether it's biogas or biofuels.
So having agriculture at the table in those conversations, you know, as we talk about domestic use of renewable sources, ethanol, things like that, to look beyond our borders and to potential markets elsewhere, that has to be exciting.
It's very exciting. You know, with energy, we really have three options. We can use it, we can store it, or we can sell it. And traditionally in the United States, we've only sent power in one direction. But as we look at the Germany renewable energy, there's everybody's a provider. The consumer and the producer are really the same person. And we want to figure out how can we become more involved in that whole energy system as far as sending power in both directions as we produce our own.
Kevin, last thing I have for you, and in talking to you quite a bit the last 3 years, you are a positive person. You look at things pretty optimistically, but you also said in this conversation earlier that there's just so much, a lot of headwinds facing farmers right now when you look at farm incomes and the uncertainty surrounding trade and farm legislation. Plus, you have a lot of water in some fields across southern Minnesota. Describe for me what the level of farm stress is like right now for you and those around you.
Well, farm stress is out there. It's real. It's the farm financial stress with the short-term low commodity prices because of the weather, but also because of the trade tariffs, but also that long-term stress of making sure we've got those risk management products in the farm bill. But quite frankly, when we've had a week like this where many parts of the state have just got dumped on with rainfall, I mean, we're looking at 2 to 3 to 5 to 7 inches of rain in a short time. And that just takes a crop that was only an average crop and puts it very much in the wrong direction and a lot of drowned out spots, a lot of infrastructure. So it is a little frustrating, but that's one thing about Minnesotans and the weather. Just hang around and hopefully the weather will get better.
Is your organization hearing from farmers and folks in rural Minnesota more than average as far as their level of stress? And, you know, we've talked a lot about mental health, and there's a crisis hotline that was made available through the Department of Ag, some of those resources. Are there more of those conversations happening right now?
Well, there's always concern in agriculture about an issue, whatever that issue is. And I think now it's just the intensity, and it's all the issues. It's trade, it's farm bill, it's concerns with the renewable fuel standard, it's concerns with ag labor and having that ability to have that ag labor when necessary, regulation. It just seems like the intensity is turned up, and the fact that we're dealing with all of these issues at the same time.
Hey, Kevin, anything else that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, I think it's just important at this, you know, this time of year with celebrating the 4th of July, and it is all about family and appreciating all the good things that are happening in this country and in the fact that we do need to spend some time and think about what's really important, not only in agriculture, but in life, and everybody have a good, safe 4th of July.